Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. It's the Search Update.
That's right, the Search Update. We do it at the top of each hour. We give you an update on the latest with the Houston Texans. And if you've missed it, know many of you are getting off work, getting in. The Texans are now, Clint, the only team in the National Football League that does not have a head coach. They were the first one to fire Bill O'Brien in week four, and now they are the last one remaining without a head coach.
I'm okay with it, Show. Haste makes waste, baby. Be patient in situations like this and make sure that you get the right guy. The one thing I really liked, and I don't remember when it was that Cal McNair, I don't know if it was a statement or if he's when he spoke during Nick Caserio's introductory press conference. I don't remember exactly when it was, but one thing he said is we're going to take our time and get this hire right. I couldn't agree more with that statement by Cal McNair, and it looks like they've made the right decision. They're the lone franchise with a head coach opening, and they've got some really, really high-quality candidates that are still available. And in my opinion, they've got the top candidate that was ever available this season, and that's Eric Bieniemy right there at their fingertips.
Yep, if you missed it, Philadelphia, the Eagles, they were the other remaining team. They hired Nick Sirianni, the Colts offensive coordinator, to be their next head coach. So that leaves them wide open. And I think the other big piece to this, Clint, is of all the guys they interviewed pre-Nick Caserio and post-Nick Caserio, only Brandon Staley has taken a job. Everybody else that they've interviewed is available for them to hire as their head coach. So they should be able to get the guy that they covet.
Yeah, look, and I know a lot of people will respond to that by saying that Arthur Smith was a guy they should have interviewed. I know they requested an interview, but they should have interviewed. Well, they didn't make the cut, right? And you look at Robert Saleh. Well, they should have interviewed. Well, he didn't make the cut, obviously. Didn't even request. And so there's a different conversation to be had about what were they thinking not making more of a push for those two guys. And that's a good conversation to have. But as we look at what we know, the guys that they've shown interest in, and more importantly, the guys that they've shown interest in since Nick Caserio has become the GM, all of those guys are available. And you look right now, I believe this, Show. I believe that the Texans sit here with this head coach vacancy and they're being patient. And right now, that leads me to believe that this Texans head coach job has come down to two candidates. You got Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, and you got Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Neither one of those guys can be hired right now. They can't be hired until their team loses out of the playoffs. And with that said, I love the fact that that we're not hearing anything from the Texans because it's going to be one of those two guys, right? And I firmly believe that if it's Eric Bieniemy, they made the hire of the offseason.
Because the thought is they haven't interviewed anyone since Monday, right? We're sitting here Thursday. We have no understanding, no plans of them to re-interview people they'd done before. No second interviews, nothing. They have not interviewed anyone since Monday. The thought would be, if they wanted it to be Matt Eberflus, they would have hired him because he's not
Joe Brady.
Not attached with anybody.
They would have hired him.
The same thing.
The old heads they keep running through the interview situation.
David Culley, who we continue to forget, they would have hired him. His team is out.
I think old Nick Caserio just needed a couple trial runs. I think old Nick needed a couple trial runs. so that he can interview guys that have been interviewed quite a bit in the past. Marv Lewis, you know, Leslie Frazier. Hopefully not. Leslie Frazier's down to one of the final two. I think it's Eric Bieniemy is their guy, and I think Leslie Frazier or Jim Caldwell. That's the safety net.
It feels right.
That's the safety net.
To me, even Nick Caserio with the Texans wouldn't just sit here for 4 or 5 days and not interview anybody if they're looking for their head coach.
Well, if there was a candidate out there that they were hell bent on getting in the mix, you would think that they would interview or give somebody a second interview if that were the case. I mean, I'm locked in on Eric Bieniemy and Leslie Frazier and Caldwell being the backups.
For those who are in favor of Eric Bieniemy, a slight good sign. The Eagles, they had requested an interview with him on January 16th, which was Saturday. Then the league allowed teams to be able to interview on Monday, and the Chiefs allowed it. They requested an interview, but he only interviewed with the Texans. He didn't interview with the Eagles that day, which is interesting, which would make you wonder maybe if they requested it that he potentially turned down the request.
Yeah.
Because maybe the interview went so well with Cal.
You talk about a situation, boy. I don't know what's worse. You got Deshaun Watson frustrated, or you got a second-round quarterback sitting up there behind a $30 million a year quarterback, and the second-round draft pick played better more recently.
I do feel bad for Jalen. I mean, this isn't the people who believed in him to take him in the second round.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
This has been the big news of the day, and that is Cal McNair. He is starting to move in the right direction, right? It was reported from Aaron Wilson that he had privately issued an apology to Deshaun Watson moving forward and trying to get that relationship better. Clint, I want to come at it from this angle with you. Do you think now we're starting to see some better decisions from the organization? Do you think Nick Caserio is having an effect on the organization to start making some moves that make more sense?
Well, hell, you hope.
Because they didn't interview Bieniemy before it. Now this move and how they're handling Watson, the big major difference is Nick Caserio has now been.
Yeah, well, he's running the show, and so you hope that the steadying factor here is Nick Caserio. I mean, he flipped Matt Eberflus and got him to at least interview. He obviously made the decision to request the interview from Eric Bieniemy, which he accepted. And it's all is quiet on the Houston Texans front as of right now, which I would say that's progress,
no.
Right? There was about a 10-day span where every day there was something that picture of Eric Bieniemy and Deshaun Watson on the screen up there threw me off. I had to catch that read. I had to catch that read up there.
I didn't think it was that crossing route to Brandon Cooks that got you.
Well, that says Watson voiced support for Bieniemy after unhappiness with GM hiring. He must have done that behind closed doors.
Yeah, I think that's kind of some of the stuff they're reporting.
I didn't know if there was new news up there. I'm thinking, wait a minute, we need that sounder out here. Come on, get ready. We need
some
that sounder.
Reports from.
I don't even know where the hell my I don't even know where
I
the hell my
you
thought
did, man.
Was.
I didn't think you did. We were talking about Nick Caserio.
Here. I mean, he's clearly the silence on the Texans front is progress. See, there's about 10 days straight of where something, whether it was a tweet or it was there was something with a little bit more legitimacy to it where there was a report coming out. I mean, we had about a 10-day run where there was something negative. So yesterday we get Michael Effin Brantley back in this thing, and he's an Astro. And today where the Texans sit in this head coach search, clearly the GM of the Houston Texans is on a run here just by simply, you know, quieting the critics.
Any concern this way with now they are the last staff. They're the last team to hire a coach. Is there any concern now you continue to look through? We're seeing people's staffs get filled up. We're seeing coordinators get filled up. Aaron Glenn goes to Detroit. And today Raheem Morris goes to Atlanta. Any concern that, let's say it's Frazier or Bieniemy, that they're having a real late start on putting a staff together?
Concern, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a deal breaker or anything that makes you you know lose sleep. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of a concern. You know, look, I think that the Kansas City Chiefs, I saw a report about a week ago that they retained the services of Mike Kafka, right? And he's gonna stick around. I think that's a tell sign that he's gonna slide into the offensive coordinator position if Eric Bieniemy does leave. But look, I think there's something there in a sense of getting that head coach hire right. And if he's an offensive minded guy, you know, I think you could find an offensive coordinator that he knows in that system that may be off the radar that he could groom. I also think that'll be an opportunity to knock on Doug Peterson's door and say, Hey Dougie Fresh, do me a favor, man. What do you say, you come over here and work with my man Deshaun Watson?
I'd like for him to get a Dougie Fresh haircut. Is this a deal where either Frazier or Bieniemy, they probably already have contacted people who they want to be on their staff, like ahead of time?
I would think that Eric Bieniemy has talked to multiple people over the last 3 or 4 years and said, hey, if I ever do get a job, are you in? Eric strikes me as a guy, and that's why I keep bringing up Doug Peterson. Like, Eric strikes me as a guy that you either love him or you don't like him. Like, that's the guy that he strikes me as. And I think there are coaches in this industry that he's crossed paths with that absolutely love the dude and would love to be in the locker room and on a staff with him when he makes this run. I mean, if and when he does get hired, it's going to be absolute huge news, and I think everybody in their right mind is going to want to see the guy have success, and I don't think he'll have any problem filling a staff with really, really talented coaches.
5 o'clock fire.
More from the NFL. It is official. Aaron Wilson tweeted this out earlier. Ex-Texans coach Gary Kubiak retires. Somebody that a lot of people here wanted to potentially see come back as either head coach or offensive coordinator in some way because they love his offense. He was really good here. Won a championship with Denver. But the dream of Gary Kubiak coming back and running his offense here is over because he's retired.
Yeah, I don't know that was ever a possibility, but there's no doubt about it that the game is losing one of the greats, man. Gary Kubiak, he there's no doubt about it. His system, where you plug the right guys in, man, that sucker could produce. And his offenses were always fun to watch. So I salute you for I salute you on your way out, Gary. I salute you on your way out. Well done, man. Congrats. Enjoy retirement.
5 o'clock fire.
Also, more news coming from Minute Maid and the Astros. They signed catcher Jason Castro to a new deal, 2-year deal worth $7 million to play as a backup catcher role behind Martin Maldonado. Two veteran catchers, good defensive catchers. There have been talks about these two, the Astros trying to bring him in, and they finally get that done. To me, I think it just screams in a big way that the Astros are really serious about competing and shoring up things. I don't think this is the last move they make, but when you combine this, getting an upgrade at their backup catcher position and bringing in and keeping Michael Brantley, I think these are just signs that the Astros are serious about really competing.
Yeah, 10-year vet, spent time earlier in his career with the Houston Astros to career 230 hitter. I mean, he provides depth at the catcher position and you know, we'll see. I mean, I think it's a good ad. You know, these are small, kind of under the radar type of ads that the Astros are going to have to make this year, and they're going to have to hit on some of them in a big way, especially when you get into those guys in the bullpen and possibly a starter that comes out of left field. These are the kind of guys you're going to have to step up. Not necessarily a backup catcher, but guys that are kind of under the radar types of signings.
Yeah, good depth though. They're not just bringing somebody up. To just somebody that's not ready to play. They're bringing somebody in that they can really count on. All right, what would you do? What would you do, Houston? What would you do if it were leaked out? What would you do if it were leaked out that Deshaun's camp says Deshaun Watson most definitely wants a trade from the Houston Texans and doesn't want to play here anymore? If you're the Texans, what would your move be? We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
That's the question. Clint, I want you to answer it first. That's the question. And it was brought to my attention because John McClain was on In the Loop earlier today. And when he said this, I wonder what you would do if you were the Texans. This was John McClain earlier on In the Loop talking about, you know, potentially what Deshaun Watson's camp could say about the trade stuff.
Several reasons. Number one, they won't trade him. He hasn't said he wanted to be traded. I keep expecting at some point his agent to leak to the national media. He wants to be traded.
Let's wonder, what if that happened? And McClain, who'll be on with us tomorrow on the 4 o'clock hour, says he's been expecting to hear that Deshaun Watson's camp would say he does definitely want to be traded.
Well, sorry.
No. Hey, you speak the truth. I'm saying to you, Clinton Houston, if that were to be the case, if you got to a point where Deshaun's out here really threatening a trade and going to the next step from where he has been now, what's the move? What is your reaction if you're the Texans?
Well, you hope you're prepared for it. I mean, look, I've been saying from the jump that I believe that this Deshaun Watson threat is a legitimate threat. And if I'm of that belief, then clearly I'm going to start preparing, behind the scenes to the what-if scenario. If he does drop that bomb, if his agent does drop that bomb and this thing gets real, I think I've got to be prepared for it. I mean, look, this has got the makings of Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, Herschel Walker caliber trade back in the day. I mean, we still talk about that today. Mm-hmm. There's documentaries about it. This is going to be that caliber of a trade. I mean, the shockwaves across the NFL landscape, they're going to be huge, man. I mean, so there's you don't sit around idly if you're the Texans and wait for Deshaun Watson to slap you in the face. You go ahead and set your feet and get ready. And so I think the worst thing the Texans could do is right this second not be prepared. Now, I'm not saying you call people and see who they want, but you start evaluating other teams, other organizations, their draft situations, their rosters, and you start positioning yourself to, these are the top three calls that we're going to make if Deshaun Watson forces our hand and puts us in a position where making these calls don't worsen the situation. Right now, it would worsen the scenario, right? And if Deshaun Watson, hopefully Deshaun Watson never pushes him to that point and you move forward. But if there ever becomes a day where he pops the Texans with a bomb and it's, hey, I want out and I'm not backing down off of it, they can't get caught with their pants down. There's three things they got to do, show, is they got to prepare for this thing as it's a reality right now. And the questions are is, where do you start with negotiations, number one, right? If you're the Houston Texans, where do you start negotiations? Obviously, you shoot high and you hope to land in the middle, right?
Yeah.
To me, you shoot for 5 first-round draft picks.
Why not?
And that could be a package of 4 first-round draft picks and a young player that was a first-round draft pick last year or the year before. Any combination of the 5 first-round draft picks, it could be a 4 draft picks and a superstar. I think you start there. You hope you land at 4 first-round draft picks, right? And if you get to 3 and a superstar and that player's good enough, maybe you can live with it. But the point is, where do the negotiations start? What do they look like? Is it 3? Is it 4? Is it 5 first-round picks, right? Number one. Number two, what teams have enough draft capital and combination of superstars that they're willing to part ways with that the Texans should take serious, right? Like obviously you look right now, Jacksonville and the New York Jets, they've got bukus of draft picks. So they obviously would be players. I think it's got to be teams that for sure this year draft in the top 5. And in a perfect world, you take an organization that you know is going to be bad or you assume is going to be bad for a few years to where the future first-round picks you take are early, early, early first-round picks as well. And then the third thing is you look at it and you figure out what teams will Deshaun Watson consider, because we all know Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause that some people view as, well, you can't trade him, when in reality that is the little bit of leverage that he has is if they try to trade him to somewhere he doesn't want to be, then he can say no thank you.
I think that the number one part is what you talked about is you got to at least be prepared. Like, you can't be just sitting here just, what are we going to do right here? You got to be – there has to be multiple plans. And you should be working like hell, because that would be my thing. First thing I'm doing is, okay, It's January 21st. We got till the week before the draft.
Yep.
And I'm working like hell to figure out the things that we need to do to try to change the run, because you don't want to give up on a 25-year-old quarterback that can do the things that you can do. I mean, Pro Football Focus listed the top five graded quarterbacks this year. Four of them are playing on Sunday, and the only one that isn't was third is Deshaun Watson. You don't want to trade that cat. You don't. So you try to work like hell to keep him, and you got till the draft. And for me, at that point, a weekend before the draft, now I have to get serious about doing something that I don't want to do.
Well, I think that's a good target date too, obviously for reasons of being able to trade for draft capital this year. I think you have to make, if you make that trade, it has to happen before the draft, and it has to be for sure first round draft picks. Deshaun, I think that's where Deshaun Watson gets into a tough spot. Like I love Deshaun Watson, and I don't blame him one bit for what he's doing. And I don't care about the tweets and the leaks from the agent, all kinds of, but in terms of being frustrated, letting it be known that he's frustrated, putting pressure on the owner and the GM and the front office at this point in time, I don't blame him one bit with what he's been through and what I think the most important thing to Deshaun Watson is winning a championship, and sometimes you got to put your foot down and make it happen. I don't blame him at all. But if this thing show gets to a point where Deshaun Watson is – after the draft forces this team into a position to trade him, I think he's really tiptoeing the line there for me. That would rub me the wrong way. That would, because then you're burying the organization, right? Then you're putting the organization in a position where they can't move you and win at all. They're not going to win losing that kind of quarterback anyway, but they can't even get the compensation right in return if they trade for first-round picks that they don't know where those first-round picks are going to land next year.
Yeah, I got to know. For me, something's got to be in the top five. I got to guarantee myself a top five pick so I can at least try to draft a quarterback. That's what we're talking about here, 713-572-4610. You want to jump in. If his people leaked out that he definitely wants to be traded, and right now there is no shocker. That would not be a shocker if that were to come out from his camp. What would be your next move if you're the Texans? Larry and Stafford, go ahead and jump in. Where you at, Larry?
Hey, look here. So thanks for letting me get in, you and Clint, man. First of all, there's no preparation that you can make to do some dumbass stuff, man. Sometimes with the dumb stuff, just you can't prepare for it. And if you really, really just got to have a scenario, then I want five draft picks and every one of them going to be protected. I want three second-round picks, and all of those are going to be protected if they got to be protected. Then I need your dumb ass to take Whitney Merciless' contract, a Bernardrick McKinney contract, and then I also need you to figure out how to go ahead and take Vernon Hargraves off my team. That's silly, man. We don't need to keep talking about these old silly-ass scenarios. Deshaun Watson is too valuable to trade, and everybody know it. Now, having said all that, I want to say thank you to Cal McNair. Cal, you listening, Amy Trask, or if your ass listening to me, I'm glad you apologize, because life is about symmetry. Sometimes when you make a mistake, all you have to do is say those words that your ass is so hard to say, I'm sorry. When you say I'm sorry, man, your wife likes to hug you again. Right. She go back to sleeping naked and all this other kind of stuff, man, and then everything just feels good. So, Cal, you did the right thing. Now, let's go and get this thing right. And now I got to get to what this call is really about, which is EB. EB sat up there in that press conference looking like he just ate two Oreo cookies with a glass of milk, knowing that he's on his way to H-Town. He had that smile that only us brothers know, man. Yeah, I know some of y'all ass know, too.
I knew it, Larry. I knew what the hell.
I think white folks knew that, too.
So I heard you. I heard it in your voice. You was almost ready to say it out loud. You know he on his way to the H-Town. But I want to compare. Let me do this real quick. I'm going to make this comparison for y'all real quick about Eric Bieniemy and Leslie Frazier. And I'm going to change their names to Big Cynthia and Alicia. See, Alicia is that one that go in the bathroom and put on her mask, and then she come to bed with her robe on and her pajamas are all up to her neck or whatever, and she kiss you on the forehead when she get in the bed and turn her back to you. That's Leslie Frazier. Now let's talk about Big Cynthia. Big Cynthia have your ass pulling curtains off the walls. Yeah. She has the sheets going all off the bed. You got the ceiling fan on and the humidor on because Big Cynthia.
Hold on, Larry.
She putting it on you. See, that's Eric Bieniemy. That's what you want, man. Hey, man, that's what you want. You want Big Cynthia, man. Let Alicia ask on about her business and I'll holler.
I appreciate it. He said the type of guy to make you smoke a cigarette and you don't even smoke.
I'd be busted up.
Boy, somebody to just put it on you here. God, dog, Larry's so damn nasty. Good Lord, I appreciate it. I love all of it. I love all that. All right, what would you do? What would you do if Deshaun Watson, if it leaked out from his camp that Deshaun Watson is going to say, you know what, I demand it, I want to trade. What's going to be your next move?
Is Eric Bieniemy an Oreo guy or not?
Let's really think through that on the other side. That's coming up next. Is Eric Bieniemy an Oreo guy or not? Added on to that other tease.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, guys, a couple of very, very important questions. One, if you were Cal McNair and the Texans and it was brought 713-572-4610, text or jump in, if it was brought to you and leaked out from his camp, his agent, whatever, his camp, that Deshaun Watson is officially asking to be traded, what is the move you make? What's the next move you make? 713-572-4610. And then also, dueling question. Larry from Stafford said that Eric Bieniemy looked like a man who had just eaten two Oreos with milk. Clint then posed, I think a very, very serious question that needs to be answered. Do you think Eric Bieniemy is an Oreo guy? Do you think those are the two, that's the cookie that he would go with? Anywhere you're going. And anyone who calls, I need both answers to both questions. Okay, don't just call in here and think you're just going to give your Texans take. I also want to get your take on what type of cookie do you think Eric Bieniemy eats?
Well, I mean, I got to ask, is that like what cookie, is there some kind of certain cookie that a black man would grow up eating over another?
I don't know about that.
I'm embarrassed that I have to ask that question.
No, I don't think so.
That's something I feel like I should probably know.
That's not that I've experienced. Okay. Right.
I wanted to make sure you didn't have an unfair advantage on me here.
I'm thinking myself, I'm going sugar wafers.
Sugar wafers.
And I'm going off the grid.
That's one step up from an animal cracker.
God, I love those.
I haven't thought of those in a while.
Oh, God,
they're so
the
good.
Pack that comes in, the strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. Woo-hoo. Oh, man, you can pull them apart and get right. That. Now, he is from New Orleans, so let's also remember that. He's from New Orleans, then he moved to Southern California. That might throw in an influence there.
I'm not a big Oreo guy. Look, I'll be honest with you. Eric Bieniemy looks to me like a guy that really don't give a rip. If there's cookies on a plate and milk involved, he's going to have crumbs all over his face. But
text line goes snickerdoodle?
No, hell no. Come on, man.
I think he's more aggressive.
EB don't look like a guy that would take the time to eat a snickerdoodle. I mean, snickerdoodle, can you buy a snickerdoodle in the store?
That's a good question.
I'm not a cookie guy.
I think you got to. Tyler looked like he got a whole bunch of snacks and stuff up there.
Tyler hits the cookie the cookie row at the cookie aisle at HEB, I guarantee you.
From the text line, I say hell no to a trade. Let him sit out the year. Let the Texans suck and get two draft picks, then trade him early for equity. I don't like that plan. The plan of let's just test him. And sit him and then have that always in the background. I'd rather trade him. I'd rather trade him to the Jets and do that.
Ultimately, show if we're all – look, I understand that whole let him sit, trade him next year, and I understand that the with the new CBA, it's hard for players to hold out. Really not hard. Hell, it's impossible damn near without him getting just popped with all kind of fines. But I mean, let's be honest, man. I mean, we're in this business to win ball games, and there's no you gain nothing by playing hardball with a quarterback and he's in him sitting out and trading him next year.
I mean, you're just like, dragging through the whole, I mean, that story.
Yeah. It's not like at that point you're going to recover. Like you're not going mean, to, your relationship is fractured to a point where there's, it's past the point of any kind of return. So it's not like next year at this point in time, he's going to be sitting there waiting to kiss and make up. He's going to have moved forward. Right. So you're asking a new head coach to come into this situation, the dysfunctional state that it's in now, and wallow around in dysfunction for a year with Deshaun Watson being in and out of the conversation. Is he going to come back and play? And if he does, is he frustrated? And is he visibly different? Is he invested? Is he the leader that he once was? Which I think Deshaun Watson's above all of that. But the point is like this is a simple thought to me of taking the stance of. With players anywhere, like we're willing to just waller in this dysfunction and call your bluff and have you sit out, and when it's a new head coach and we'll trade you next year, like that. If you don't think there's any chance that guy's gonna play, then like for instance, I would have called DeAndre Hopkins' bluff.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, yeah.
I would have called Hop's bluff
because there's no gain, right?
Yeah, because over contract. It was over. He was already going to make, I don't know, was it $14 million or $12, $14 million a year?
I would have called it because I believe he'd come in and play with Deshaun.
Right, right. Well, I think it's a different scenario because you're talking about a personal issue. You're talking about a contract. And I think guys will have a really, really hard time sitting out over that. Like, it's one thing to not have guaranteed money, or it's one thing to not have an extension. But it's another thing when you've got a contract where you're going to make that kind of money to sit out. That would be, I would call his bluff on that. And it's a receiver to where if you got to play three or four games without him, I think you could still possibly win that ball game, right? I would have called DeAndre Hopkins' bluff. This is a different scenario to where you
don't. Why does this one feel different to you? Because he had 3 years left on his deal. Why is this one with Deshaun feel different?
Well, because it's not a contract. Yeah. It's not personal. This is about a quarterback representing a locker room of individuals that are following his lead, yes, but all have the same thought process of we want to win a championship, and what's going on in this building is not winning material on a daily basis. We're not winning the day every day. We've got to bear down until they get that right. I think this is a scenario that's turned into Deshaun Watson could potentially end up being the face of literally – the face of minority hiring in this league, taking a next step and making a statement. And I think there's a part of him, a good chunk of him and his representation that are dug in because of that. So I think there's several different ways to look at this, and I don't think it has anything to do with Deshaun and his money. In fact, I think they're so big that he would be willing to sacrifice a good chunk of his money up front. To prove his point. And so I think it's a lot different than DeAndre Hopkins or any individual that's holding out for a contract or for an extension or something of that nature. I would have called his bluff on this one with Deshaun Watson. I'm doing everything I can to work with him.
713-572-4610. Text in, call in. Understand, we got two dueling things going on here. If you are the Texans and you hear, as John McClain said earlier on in the loop, if you hear that, hey, his camp, Deshaun Watson's camp, is saying, nope, he wants to be traded. He wants out. What is your move? Do you oblige it? Do you trade for him? What's your move? And what kind of cookies do you think Eric Bieniemy wants?
The more important question.
Is it two Oreos the way that Larry and Stafford? Is it two Oreos? I said sugar wafers. Bill, I want to get the cookie. This is how it goes. I want the cookie first, and then I want you to go into your Texans take. Go ahead, Bill.
Man, I don't know anything about cookies.
Yes, you do.
Bill, I can Oreo, hear who cares?
You man. Think Oreo? All right, go ahead. I don't think he's an Oreo guy, but hey, go ahead, Bill.
First off, you guys are going to hate my take because it's got absolutely nothing to do with him wanting out. I actually love Deshaun, but I would trade him, and I would also trade J.J. Watt, and for the exact same reason. We are in absolute hell, rebuilding hell, and we don't have any draft picks to do it. Even with draft picks, it takes 2 to 3 years to rebuild. And with our situation, it's going to take 3 to 5. Deshaun Watson the type of quarterback that he is doesn't have a long life expectancy in the NFL. He runs around too much. Chances of him getting hurt pretty good. Do you really think he's going to be around 5 years from now when we can actually rebuild?
Yes.
I don't think so. And I would trade JJ because I love him, and I'd want to trade him to a team that has a chance to make a championship and get that man a ring just because out of loyalty to him. But there you go. There's my take. Like I said, if people knew who I was, they'd hunt me down and shoot me.
Nobody's going to hunt you down, Bill. You're good.
I think, Bill, I've said this, man. I don't think they're going to do it, but I don't think that Nick Caserio and this front office is above turning this thing into a complete rebuild if they get tired of the Deshaun Watson scenario. If it is indeed that bad and they get tired of the Deshaun Watson scenario, I could see them turn this thing into a fire sale and a complete rebuild. Right now, I still think it's a reset button, I could see them turning this thing into a complete rebuild, which would mean that they would have to do a lot of what Bill just said and just trade these guys and get draft picks. I don't agree with the position. I don't think the Texans are in that bad of a position, so I don't think that's necessary. But I don't think it's a stretch to say that Nick Caserio could be sitting there going, man, I want to hire a guy with a clean slate to come in here and build this team the way him and I could build this team. And it's – whether it's true or not, or if it ever happens or not, I would be surprised if it weren't a thought.
To me, I just completely disagree with it, because Deshaun Watson is what you're seeking to get you out of this, right? And you already have him. And I just think we've got to a point where we cannot underestimate. And I'll say I've done it myself before. We cannot underestimate how critical the turmoil is that has happened around this. It's turmoil and god-awful coaching that has been attached to this team in the last year. And that can change. And the thing that can help with that change is having a top five quarterback, which you have.
Who is your leader? Who is your hardest worker? You know what I mean? Like you're talking about a guy, he's your best player. Anytime you got a guy that's a quarterback, but he's your best player, he's your leader, and he's your hardest worker, you don't want to shake that dude. That's the dude you want. That's the dude you want in the locker room.
All right, give me your cookie take first, Johnny, and then give me your Texans take. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, this is John. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, Larry. Yeah, Larry, out there in Stafford, you got it wrong, baby. You got it wrong. It's a family size package of Oreos and a gallon of milk.
Not bad. All right. Still Oreos, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely got to be Oreos. You can't be no Oreo. Okay. What?
No, shoot, man. That's keep it, going. Baby, what you got, baby? I love it.
Okay. I don't know, man. That's why I got Caserio there. I said, Caserio, do your homework, baby. But first thing I do is ask him where he wanted to go, you know. I mean, if he ain't going to stick around, he's got to go. And rebuilding the team, you might as well go ahead and do that, too. I think you're absolutely right.
All right, appreciate the call, Johnny
got that eggnog mixed up with that gallon of milk, didn't he?
Johnny got a little nasty gym eggnog. In him.
Had a little eggnog left over from Christmas holidays. Knocked it back.
Well, that to a point that he has made, if it does get down to this, which I think Kyle McNair issuing an apology to him privately, hopefully they're going down the steps that doesn't have to occur, because I don't think that's what anybody wants. He does have a no-trade clause. So there is some sort of power that he has within this to be able to go where he wants to go. Like, you can't just say, we're taking you to the Broncos. No, I don't want to go to Denver. He can do that. He has a no-trade clause where he can stop where he's being traded if it had to get to that. So you would have to.
Receiving core in Denver?
He might want to go there. Mm. But you get tired walking up steps in Denver.
Yeah, I had to suck on the oxygen machine in Denver.
That's where you ran your 50-yard touchdown run.
I ran a 50-yard touchdown against the Broncos. Barely scored. Got over the goal line. Guy caught me from behind. I got over the goal line. Go to the sideline. I'm sucking on it. And I used to give guys hell about sucking on that oxygen machine. I'm sucking on that oxygen machine. That camera gets behind my head. After the game, I had phone calls about that badass fade I had.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah,
never went back to that joint.
How
again.
Long ago was that? You are. I mean, you've brought that up three times since I've known you.
My
England.
Fade, man. That's like a fade is if you're going somewhere and getting your hair cut, some old terrible fade like that. That tells a lot. That tells a lot about the kind of guy you are.
But it works you up. Like you go to another place of anger every time you talk about it. From the text line, show no grown man eats sugar wafers. Kiss my ass.
Oh, come on.
He had some warm peanut butter or sugar cookies. Oh, grown men don't eat sugar wafers, but they'll eat warm peanut butter cookies and sugar cookies. Get out of here.
Look, you can't.
I don't think he's an Oreo guy, though. I don't agree with that.
That's weak. Oreos are weak. I mean, that's just like the – that's the
– What?
That's the lazy man's – weak. Yeah, but that's like the you got a problem. Like if you keep a sleeve of like 40 Oreos in the cabinet, like you got a damn problem.
If you don't like Oreos, you're a communist.
Nobody dislikes Oreos.
Why do you always go so far?
It's not a matter of like, I mean, yeah,
it's America's cookie,
see,
man.
That's what's wrong with
it's
America. Like you want to call me all kind of names because I don't like something.
Yeah,
I'm not a big Oreo guy, and I damn sure don't need four sleeves of them in my fridge.
You said I have a problem if I have the Oreos.
I think you do. Like the guy that keeps, what is it, two or three rows? What comes in a normal pack of Oreos? Three?
Three sleeves.
Three sleeves, right? Tyler knows it. He's embarrassed to answer.
Isn't that right, Megan?
I mean,
I answered that too quick.
The guy that keeps three sleeves of Oreos in his what my mind's going blank. What is it called? The closet?
Pantry.
His pantry. I mean, yeah, I mean, that, like, and you get mad at your wife because she didn't pick them up last time she went to the grocery store. You got a slight problem.
Yelled at Megan just 2 days ago.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if you didn't say, babe, where's the Oreos? Oh, my gosh, I forgot. Damn it.
If you're jumping in, we're having a real serious discussion here about Eric Bieniemy on what type of cookies he would eat here. And I think it's very
serious. He
didn't
strike me as an Oreo guy.
And people are texting in. No, I don't think so. People are texting in. Someone said Pepper Ridge Farm cookies. Listen, can we agree on this? I don't think – I think whatever cookie it is, it's something old fat, like something where he's not new age working for it. I don't think – I think it's something that he knows, like Oreo – not now Oreo, Chip Ahoy, Nutter Butter, somebody did text in. I don't think it's like a nice package where he's got a – I think it's
a Ziploc baggie that somebody had some leftover from the family gathering, and I think they're chocolate chip cookies,
like just homemade,
old school chocolate chip cookies.
I think it might be there's the straight cookie that just got icing on it, that just got like white icing on it. They're kind of
I think
thick.
That'd be a sugar cookie.
No. It's not a sugar cookie. They generally just got. White icing cookie is probably the name of them.
White icing
just
cookie.
White icing cookie. But I feel like...
You think it's something simple he can just grab like it at the 7-Eleven?
Very simple. Very simple. Somebody said Girl Scout cookies.
Ooh,
that's
ooh,
a good
it
one
is that season.
What's a Girl Scout cookie with the stripes across top? Coconut on the top. What am I talking about? Which cookie?
I don't know which one you're talking about.
I'm not sure.
One is the regular one. The best one
shortbread.
Is just a shortbread.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Oh, and I like the lemon one too. The
lemon one's got a hole in the middle of it.
Oh, and it's got the...
it's got coconut on it.
I don't like that. With the gross. Coconut and chocolate. Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't like that.
Coconut's nasty.
Or is it coconut and caramel?
It's got some caramel in it as well.
I'm not a big one. I'm not a big
fan. I can eat 8,000 of them suckers.
Someone hey, boss here, man's listen. Daughter's selling some. You need to get you some.
I'm good. Please, Girl Scout girls, please don't come at me with them cookies. But I think we can all agree with this. Somebody text in Fig Newtons. Eric Bieniemy ain't eating no damn Fig Newtons.
I can't put Fig Newtons on EB.
I can't. There's nothing about Eric Bieniemy. That's the first thing I'm asking him, by the way.
Favorite cookie?
I'm calling it right now. Eric Bieniemy is going to be the next head coach of the Houston
Texans.
Can
you do me a favor?
And I'm going to get it in, and I'm going to.
Is there any chance? Do you mind couching it in a way of just asking the question instead of like somehow hinting around the what you think the answer is so that he goes that direction
You think I'm a leading?
Yeah, I think you're a manipulative question asker. Yes.
I mean, text line. Do you think
like you're going to give him three options and really emphasize which one you want to pick?
I'll put it just like this. Hey, EB, show man, how you doing, man? Sports Radio 610. I just had a question that our listeners.
I'm doing good, but don't talk to me like you've known me since you were little.
My listeners want to know this: if you were stuck to have to eat one cookie, one type of cookie, what will it be? I'm not going to lead it. That's all. I'm going to put it right out there. And I bet you he'll give you a good three-pack. I think, man, at first I'd probably lean that towards a snickerdoodle.
I think he's going to hit you with a good, moist chocolate chip cookie.
You know, people don't like that word, that moist.
I don't stop.
You're the only.
Oh, Show's one of them. I forgot.
Only guy. Oh, Show is the guy. Like,
no Show, farts and no
you
moist.
You can't fart around Show, and you can't say the word moist around him.
You definitely can't let out a moist
shot, isn't
fart.
It? Is it rude? Is it rude right now? So Sean Pendergast is in here right now. He's taking over him. He's doing the search. I'm not sure the hell you're doing it with tonight. Wade Smith. Yeah, good job. It's always real Wade Smith in here. If we're stuck in here right now together in this small room, it's rude as hell if I just fart. If I'm just farting it. Yes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I
really rude.
Tyler just does
no,
it.
No, he's okay, is it rude or not? See, this is how you ask questions.
How?
This is what I'm
how
talking
is that
about.
Leading?
No, because that wasn't the deal. It wasn't. All right, the question is this. If somebody farted in this room right now, would you get mad about it?
It depends on how rancid it was.
Well, exactly.
I mean, there's several factors. Would you just, yes or no, would you get mad? If I farted right now, would you get mad?
Now, yeah. especially if you you ask the person multiple times, hey, man, if you got a fart since we're in this small room together, can you just walk outside
walk
and
out
do
the
it?
Hallway.
And then he just says, to hell with you, Sean. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm just going to keep doing it. No, Tyler, punk-ass Milner did it. That's who did it, and he kept doing it. And now everyone on the text line saying, oh, Show is soft. No. Show is a punk. No. Go outside and fart.
Man, farts are funny. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, they're funny. Take your funny ass outside and do it.
He gets so upset,
Sean. Walked in here like, what in the hell are y'all doing?
I'm just here to talk about the coaching search.
The search coming up, Sean Pendergast.
Solve problems with everybody's lower
Wade
intestine.
Smith. Sean is a real person. Thank God Almighty Sean steps in. That's nasty as hell. Thank you. We're grown-ass men. We ain't laugh. We ain't 15. Tyler Milner did a great job today, by the way. Clint Sterner as well. I am Ron, the Show Hughley. And as always, baby, we love you. Just one look at you. And I know
it's gonna be. Me and Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly!